Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's time for Midweek Media Watch. This week we are joined by the one and only Colin Peacock from our Wellington studio. Kia ora.
Kia ora, Emil. This will be all original. No covers here.
No covers here. Another disparaging attitude towards cover music.
Read into it what you will. I'm just saying this will be all original. You should be grateful for that.
I should. I should, actually, because the alternative is not good. What did you used to have for breakfast when you were a kid, Cole?
What did I have for breakfast?
Yeah.
We had this kind of homemade muesli, which had a lot of sort of oatmeal in it. I think I had Weet-Bix, stuff like that. It was pretty early. I had to get up early to get the school bus and get all the way across town.
No honey puffs for you?
I think, well, yeah, I know the taste of honey puffs, so I must have had it, but I don't think that was the standard. Maybe that's a sometimes breakfast.
The taste of joy and liberation from the world's realities.
You reckon?
Gee, that's getting deep, isn't it? Let's talk media and the Royal Cancer Shock, the Princess of Wales. This has been an interesting story to sort of look back on over the past sort of weeks and maybe extending over the past month or so.
Yeah, just thinking back to the last time we spoke, so that was 2 weeks ago, and that photo, the doctored photo or whatever we want to call it, was a big deal. And although people, I think as we spoke about it, people seem to be making a bigger deal about it. You know, American news reports saying that the scandal was rocking Britain into its third day and stuff like that. And they really seem to have moved on. But yeah, last Friday, of course, that got overtaken by this news that the Princess of Wales had cancer. And some details we know, some we don't. But that was about, I think, 7 p.m. Friday New Zealand time. So interestingly, the following day, I had to sit down and think about this, because already it feels now like we've dealt with that news, we've moved on, it's not something that's much being discussed. But the next day was interesting. Both our, for whatever it's worth, the TV 6 p.m. news bulletins, the News Hub at 6 and TV 1, both of them had a lot of coverage of the announcement, even though it was almost a day old. And they put it ahead of the terrorist attack in Moscow, which it turns out has killed about close to 140 people now, ISIS-K being blamed for it. Seemed to me initially that I was surprised. I thought that's a bit out of whack. You know, I didn't know, of course, you know, long-standing connections with the Loyal family, a head of state and so on. But I would have thought, if you think back to when ISIS was attacking European capitals, for example, I think they attacked Brussels a few years back, and RNZ went into rolling coverage. And if you go all the way back to a fairly vivid memory of this, 2004, there was the Beslan school siege. I don't know if you remember that.
I don't know. I would have been 13. But
but
it sounds like a big deal.
For that one, yeah, there were 330 people killed in a former Russian republic, North Ossetia. And TVNZ actually went rolling with that when it all played out about 10 o'clock at night. And yet, you know, ISIS attacking Moscow, just maybe it's a sign of the times that we've had too much dramatic news. But I was kind of surprised that that was not a lead story for our television news ahead of, you know, day-old news about the Princess of Wales, you know, interesting as that was.
Yeah, I suppose those long-standing connections to the royal family and the celebritisation of the royal family as well would have contributed to that. But, I mean, once, you know, once Kate, there was such speculation for so long, and then Kate Middleton releases this statement, and, I mean, was that sort of the end of it as far as you were concerned? Was there much more for the media to say from that point on?
Yeah, I reckon news-wise, that's about it. You know, the princess has said what she's going to say, explain the timing of it. Okay, we don't get all the details of what kind of cancer. It's the same with whatever the king is suffering as well. But that's private medical information. I thought in extending it out, I'm sorry if I'm picking on TVNZ One News here, but the coverage did seem a bit weird to me. So they followed up a report about the news and playing clips from that video statement that the princess herself made. This is one element that seemed weird. This is a report focusing on local analysis of the communication strategy of the princess, and for that they consulted a local PR professional.
I think one of the problems is that they forgot that Catherine is the new people's princess. And when you're in that role, you're a public figure, you have to keep people informed. And they might have said, no, we are not going to say anything until the children are out of school. So the comms team are only, you know, only there as advisors and counsellors. They can't dictate.
I thought that was a little bit weird, because no disrespect to Claudia McDonald of Mango Communications, who that was, but, you know, did anyone wake up hearing that news, think, I want to know more? I wonder what Auckland-based PR people think of how they've been handled by the palace. I just think it was a bit odd.
I mean, it does get into, you know, the wider coverage of this, quite an interesting theme of, you know, what are we entitled to know, or what do we feel entitled to know about public figures' private lives? Because, you know, there was this sense of breathlessness and scandal that lit up media headlines for such a long time. But I imagine a lot of people would be probably a bit, maybe regretting some of the more wild speculations that we heard.
Yeah, and there's been a bit of a roll call of celebrities who maybe said things they shouldn't have said. But, you know, whatever. Now they know the truth, they probably wouldn't have said it. It is interesting, though, because now this is all social media driven. In the past, there's been all this tension between tabloid newspapers in the UK and even tabloid media more broadly, putting pressure on the royal family to say things, do things, comment on things, seizing on things. But now it's social media. It's really, you know, the likes of The Sun and all that you know, still have, I guess, ongoing legal action over things like phone hacking in previous years. That all seems in the past as well. It's now, you know, commentary. And you do wonder how newspapers, you know, even create stories of interest to people now if they're lapping up these weird and outlandish and, you know, almost all wrong stories about the private lives of the royal family on social media. How do they even compete with that in newspapers if they're obliged to at least have some shred of truth or someone having their name to a story? It doesn't really work that well. I did think it was interesting that the guy they use on the Mike Hosking Breakfast on News Talk ZB, Ender Brady, their UK correspondent, said basically people are ashamed because the princess was, in his words, effectively bullied into making that video announcement. And it is pretty odd to think that, you know, someone who lives in that position of isolation and privilege, and that's still, if that's the case, you know, feel they have absolutely no choice but to talk to the public on those terms. I did think, though, given that we've just said it was a bit weird to have like third parties here saying things about it, there's one comment that I've picked out that I think was an interesting little soundbite, 15 seconds long, but the Cancer Society CEO in New Zealand, Rachel Hart, was asked for comment. And, you know, if you're going to ask people to comment in this New Zealand situation and say something relevant, I thought she kind of got it right. This is her speaking on last Sunday's News Hub at 6.
Every family's journey is different, but making sure that your family's right is the first step. This is one of those terrifying moments that no one wants to face. And so seeing someone going through it who's in a public role is quite a good lesson for all of us.
Yeah, I think that's fairly classy. So if the media comes to you and say, we want something on behalf of cancer sufferers, and, you know, people whose families will be feeling this because, you know, they admire the princess, what can you say? I thought that was a pretty decent thing to say.
Yeah. Gets to the heart of it.
Yeah.
That's a good call. Another interesting media story over the past week that hit a lot of buttons, I suppose, was these dolphins which scuppered the Sail GP racing. Colin, you would have found this quite interesting.
Yeah, it was really interesting. So big reaction to it. It happened on Saturday. I think a single dolphin on the course and under their marine management plan for Sail GP, the race couldn't go ahead until it had cleared off, and it didn't. So yeah, perfect talkback and clickbait fodder. Seemed to divide people up into the, you know, people who worried about the dolphins, people who wanted to see the yachting, even turned into a left and right thing. Politicians got involved. But the media, you know, were an important part of the mix. So I've picked out a couple of bits of audio here that I think are quite funny because, again, it's both, I'm getting a bit obsessed with 6 p.m. news bulletins, but this is Saturday's One News, Thomas Mead, their correspondent based in Christchurch, and his vox pops of fans and their responses to the fact that it looked like they weren't going to get any racing. So here's the Vox Pops from One News on Saturday.
Can't just race over them because that would never end well. So
it's a shame, and the weather's closing in a bit, but now you've got to look after the dolphins.
Disappointing, guys?
Yeah.
That's all right. That's
very disappointing, yeah. It's a total fizzer, isn't it?
Yeah, see, no anger there, no rancour, just a bit disappointed. And that woman even saying, oh, you've got to look after the dolphins, and not too bad. On News Hub at 6, slightly different tone. The punters, they put in their Vox Pop selection, a bit more cranky.
Yeah, that was a f***ing fizzer.
Disgrace. Absolute disgrace.
They're not coming back to New Zealand again, will they?
It sucks. Need a refund.
Mate, I reckon the dolphin could have been sashimi.
Sometimes I really don't think New Zealand deserves these shining lights that we've got. And you imagine the money these guys are spending coming in from overseas.
The sashimi comment.
Yeah, no, there were a few. Like, that wasn't the only one. There was a bit more. And in fact, we'll have a bit more on Media Watch on Sunday, because lots of angles to this and the way, yeah. The way it sort of took off. Hayden Donnell's going to have a longer look at that as well, because there are some interesting issues tied up with it. But interesting contrast there. You would, if you saw one bulletin, you'd think, oof, they were really hit up. And yet the other bulletin, people seemed to think it was just a bit like the weather.
You know? I guess to paraphrase the former Prime Minister, John Key, you know, that's one set of fans, and like lawyers, I could provide you others who would give account of you.
Yeah.
and Russell Coutts very much, you know, put himself in the limelight in this story, Colin.
Yeah, the next day he was very cross about this. So, of course, they were then looking at the possibility of this recurring, although it didn't. They had races, it all went off. They even got a Dave Dobbin concert the day before. They just brought up to, the middle of the afternoon instead of the racing. So, you know, people didn't lose out altogether. Anyhow, News Talk ZB had Jason Pine's sports show. That goes from midday to 3 p.m. every Saturday and every Sunday as well. So on Sunday for the 3-hour show, they had, they were broadcasting from the Sale GP. And yeah, Sir Russell, cold fury. He read out a whole statement. ZB just handed him the microphone. He read this whole statement where he ended up blaming a nation handcuffed by red tape. He even called out dolphin expert Liz Slootin from Otago University. He called out the harbour master. And it was interesting the way that the callers on ZB really took their lead from Sir Russell. So here's a short version, okay? So this is a caller called Amber, who this is just the basic tone of the callers in just a few seconds.
To hear that we could not do the sailing for one dolphin, that is disgusting.
Okay, disgusting. Yep. Wow. Pretty straightforward. But here's one. This goes on for almost a minute, so it's a bit long, but it's quite interesting because Russell Coutts' statement went on for several minutes on News Talk ZB as he read it out in his state of, sort of suppressed anger. But this caller who phoned in just under a minute, I think gave an almost complete summary of all of Russell Coutts' gripes. Here he is.
Yeah, and I agree totally with what Russell just said there. It's just going too far now. I'm hoping Shane Jones and what's happened here will stop this from happening again. As you say, those dolphins are very intelligent animals. They're not going to get in the way from them. They can go faster, I think, with probably swim whatever they do in the water. They'll get out of those yachts out of their way, and I think this has got to be stopped. We're turning New Zealand into a more than the third world now. This is just organised. You can't stop these things from happening. It's just, no one will come here and hold events here anymore. We need money in this country, and by allowing what happened yesterday, it's actually shameful that we're letting this happen. These people that are making these rules, you've got to jump on them and say, no, enough's enough. We're not going to do that anymore. Those animals are intelligent animals. They're not going to put themselves in harm's way of those yachts racing. I guarantee it.
Thank you, Pete. Yeah, no, thank you, mate. It is that simple. You're right. And look.
Yes, I mean, a little bit of repetition. And he repeated that thing about the dolphins being so intelligent, they just get out of the way of the fast boats. But apart from that, that caller absolutely summed it up. If I was Russell Coutts' PR guy, I'd say, Russell, you got message across pretty clearly. Listen to that guy. He'd taken it all in and was able to spin it all back in under 57 seconds. So, yeah.
How about a raise?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So, I mean, all in all, you know, you mentioned, I sympathise with people who are brassed off about this, because I'm not a massive sailing fan, but I do really like sport. And, you know, when you're expecting to see a sports event and it gets called off, you get grumpy about it. There are many angles to this. How do you feel the media did all in all in terms of the many different angles to this overall story?
Yeah, pretty well, because even though, as I said, ZB handed the microphone to Sir Russell Coutts and he wasn't really challenged on what he said in that sports show, they did do that later on, other programs. In fact, the one that followed on did do that. So when Hayden has a look at this in our program in the weekend, you'll see that. But also there was reporting previous to that that actually showed that this is a fairly predictable thing and how those negotiations would be done. I knew nothing about it, like most people, I suspect, until it burst out as a story that was, you know, about, ended up being about politics, about our so-called obstruction economy, all of that. So I think the media's done it fairly well overall. But one thing that did strike me, though, is just, I mean, this really is, the media is really at the heart of the story, because the SailGP is a media broadcast event. And with Russell Coutts, he kind of co-opted the media, because he was there, like ZB had been facilitated to be there. So they had a stake in what they call Formula One on the water, going out and being being listened to and ads being sold around it. The reason they had to call the sailing off on the Saturday at the point they did was because the broadcasting had timed out, like because of bad weather or whatever the contingency is. If you can't get it going by that time, the broadcast fades out, the broadcasters go to other stuff. So it wasn't that they couldn't have done it at 5 p.m, but it was broadcasting that determined it. So the media was really at the heart of what happened. And, you know, other aspects like the facts that made the story more interesting when you knew them, when you knew how that protection plan was put together and who knew what and when, that's what we'll look at in the weekend. But, yeah, an interesting story. But the media really part of it. And when licensed events like that become kind of controlled by the organisers and Russell Coutts refusing to speak to the media that weren't the ones he was dealing with later, refusing to be interviewed, it's interesting when that happens.
About 5 minutes left, and we should talk about the government and this new policy for the media. The government is indeed working on it, which means the media still isn't talking to Media Watch, Colin?
not just yet, because, yes, it's all behind closed cabinet doors. But interesting piece by Laura Walters of Newsroom today. She says Broadcasting and Communications Minister Melissa Lee has been sent back to the drawing board by Winston Peters. She said Newsroom understands Lee made a, quotes, rookie mistake lodging her cabinet paper in the process without consulting with Winston Peters or New Zealand First before she did so. So she's saying that is a hold up in the process. And she goes through in the rest of her story to detail the sorts of things that Melissa Lee has talked about, legislation, things that might be tweaked as part of this policy. But we're still in a position where she's hinting that she's prepared to do things for the media. But the Prime Minister has been giving a slightly different message. So he was interviewed on Tuesday, his weekly chat with ZB's Mike Hosking on their morning show. And Mike Hosking asked the Prime Minister if, rather rudely actually, if Melissa Lee knew what she was doing with the policy for Cabinet. And this was the Prime Minister's interesting response.
She seems to have gone off on some strange tangent thinking she can save the media, and she can't, can she?
Well, I think the things that she's dealing with is, you know, there's old legislation around media that's actually very much tied to an old media model of, you know, this is TV, this is radio, this is, you know, print, and actually we're in a new media environment. So I think she's talking about updating some of the legislation to make sure that that's reflecting modern media environments. But, you know, again, you know, there's a whole range of ways that businesses need to constantly evolve and innovate, and the same happens for media organisations as well. So, you know, if you lose the voice of your customer or your consumer, that's a problem. That's why businesses go out of business. You know, you've got to innovate.
Got to innovate.
Yeah.
Innovation's the answer.
Yeah, well, so this is what he's been saying all along, as Mike Hosking pointed out. You've been consistent all along, Prime Minister. So he seems to be saying, Melissa Lee is saying, I've heard the sector, I know what the problem is, and she keeps saying she used to be a former program maker. And when she wasn't in the commercial media as such. She was making programs for via New Zealand On Air, you know, publicly funded stuff.
Public interest, yeah.
As part of the public media mix. So, yeah, she's got a different approach to it, and it just seems like her own Prime Minister isn't really saying things that would lead you to believe that this is going to be a really comprehensive cross-media policy that might ease their plight. And, you know, the sorts of things being said by the two coalition party leaders, including Winston Peters, who, if the article is correct, is holding things up, you know, aren't aren't really on board with the principle of it either.
Isn't Christopher Luxon sort of saying, though, at its core, that, you know, we don't know, you know, we're the government, we don't know how to make the commercial media sector more sustainable. If we knew, then you would know, because you're the specialists.
Yeah.
You know, we can't tell you what to do. You've got to figure it out for yourselves. This is your line of work, right?
Well, that's effectively what Mike Hosking was saying to him. You know, so you've got a minister here saying she's trying to help and trying to say things that sound nice to the media, but nobody knows. And you're not in a position, or she's not in a position, Mike Hosking says to the Prime Minister, to be able to fix it. And that's when Christopher Luxon defaults to this thing about innovation. So he's warned the media not to expect bailouts or, subsidies, as he put it, which is the word. But of course, the government does still put a lot of money into media, as we know and have said before. So interesting to see where this goes, but very different tone being struck by the minister and the Prime Minister, and, as I say, the other party leaders don't seem, you know, too interested in progressing this.
About a minute left, and I'm sorry, Colin, because I know that we had some other stuff that we were going to talk about, but you were just too interesting yet again. Shall we give out some bouquets for some good journalism that we've seen lately?
Oh yeah, just a few interesting things. Yeah, pity we didn't get longer to talk about the Glory of Vale series. Really interesting 3-part series that finished on Tuesday night, and that's also you would have heard about in the news and Morning Report. There's some real life fallout from that one. John Campbell is chief correspondent for TVNZ, doing a whole series about our water woes and putting it together in quite a good way, doing online Q&As as well as TV reports. And lovely story from Tony Wall, Sunday Star Times veteran.
Great journalist.
Doorstep journalist. Lovely story about, well, not lovely, but a bit about horrible dispute really in a Lake Taupo lakeside community, argument over a water bore and a strange character in a standoff, you know. Initially, you think, not much in that. But you look at it, interesting characters. He really brings it to life. You know, lovely stuff to read in a Sunday paper.
Yeah, he gets stories that nobody else could possibly get. Tony Wall, he is a unicorn, that guy. Colin Peacock, thanks very much, as always.
Good stuff. See you in a fortnight.
That is Colin Peacock from Media Watch. And Media Watch will, of course, be back on Sunday.
Hey, folks. I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast. And this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.